Well, good evening to you in Cornerstone in Singapore. It's nice to be back and sharing God's word with you. I believe that you've just had your National Day celebrations. Well, I'm going to speak this evening on an international theme. We're going to speak on faith and world events, and we trust that God will bless us and will speak powerfully to us as we open his word. Let's begin our time in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can say the Lord reigns in the heavens. We thank you for your goodness to us daily. And we thank you, Lord, that all things are under thy control. We thank you that Christ is at the right hand of God and is there, will be there until every enemy has been made his footstool. Thank you, Lord, that there's nothing that escapes your notice. Thank you, Lord, that there's nothing that is outside thy power. But we bless thee for the rule, the sovereign rule of God Almighty. And we thank you that we can rely upon thee. We can read the book. We can count upon the prophecies of the book, knowing that what you have said and what you have predicted in these pages will come true. Thank you, Lord, that we can have confidence in the promises of God. And we can hold on tight to those promises, knowing that there is nothing that can upset your promises. Father, we thank you for the Savior. We thank thee that in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ came to be Savior. He was born of a woman made under the law, and we bless thee for the coming of the only Redeemer. Turn our attention to Christ this evening, and Lord, we pray that you'll glorify him. We're mindful that there may be those watching online that are going through some time of difficulty, and we pray that you will draw close to them and speak to them and bless them through the preaching of your word. And Lord, challenge your hearts. Help us, Lord, not to get stuck in the Christian pathway, but Lord, help us to be active in the Christian pathway and progressing and moving along that pathway. And Lord, help us to walk circumspectly before thee. So bless this time, we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to have a lengthy reading this evening from Genesis chapter 41, and we'll break into the chapter at the 14th verse. It is very, very familiar territory. It's the story of Joseph and Joseph's final elevation. Joseph went through an awful lot in his life. Many times he was put down, he was disadvantaged, but yet the Lord finally elevated him to prominence. And that's what we're going to read this evening, Genesis chapter 41 and verses 14 through 44. So verse 14, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream, to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, In my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river, and behold, there came up out of the sea seven kine, fat-fleshed and well-favoured. And they fed in a meadow, and behold, seven other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favoured and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favoured kine did eat up the first seven fat kine. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them up, but they were still ill-favoured as at the beginning. So I awoke. And I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears withered thin and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, The dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kine are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favoured kine that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I spoke unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that dream, the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh. And let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, For as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, Bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And God shall bless the public reading of his divine and infallible word. As I said, I want to speak to you this evening in our midweek Bible study on the subject of faith and world events. Now, we're living through a truly world event in this COVID-19 crisis, which we're suffering at the minute. And it is a world event in the very fullest sense of the word. There are things that are described as world events, which are not really world events. They're not international events. But the COVID-19 pandemic is worldwide. You'll know, of course, that I'm involved in a little mission called FAME, and we're very appreciative of the support of the congregation in Cornerstone, prayerful support and financial support for our mission in East Africa. And because of the COVID-19 crisis, for a period, all the orphans that were staying in our mission centre had to be sent to relatives and to somewhere where they could stay. Thankfully, that has been resolved, and all of our children are back under the roof and at the mission centre, and that's a great blessing to have. But even in Africa, in Eastern Kenya, COVID-19 affected our mission. This is a truly international event, and the lives of virtually the whole world have been affected. And I emphasize the word lives, because we're talking about life in this series. The series we've called The Life of Faith, or Living by Faith. Remember the verse, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, the just shall live by faith. Faith isn't just something that we do when we're in church. Faith touches on every aspect of our lifestyle. Faith is, of course, trust in the truth of God, especially during the trial. Faith is trust in the truth of God, especially during the trial. Standing on the scriptures and the promise of God, even when we can't see a way out. That's what faith is. And whatever we experience in this life, we've got to, as Christians, approach it by faith. And that includes the world events that are happening all around us. The world events that we read in the newspaper, on the internet, on our phones, social media, and we hear on the news bulletins on the television. We've got to approach them by faith. Events that seem to work out for the good of God's people, events that seem to work out for the ill of God's people, events that cause catastrophe and massive loss of life, events that are personal tragedies, and events that are personal triumphs. We've got to look at them all through the lens of faith. Now, the text that we have read in Genesis chapter 41 is truly a world event. It's an international event. This famine in Egypt that we have read about was not just in Egypt. It was in all the surrounding countries. Jacob, as you know, sent Joseph's brothers from Canaan. He sent them to Egypt because Canaan was suffering this famine too. And this text features a man who is one of the world's great political leaders. His name was Joseph. Joseph ended up as the second most powerful man in Egypt. And of course, Egypt at that time was a world superpower. Joseph rose to the stage where he was the second most powerful man in Egypt. And in fact, in everyday life, Joseph was the most powerful man. Pharaoh had the throne. But in all the everyday decision makings, Joseph was the man who made the decisions. Joseph was in secular employment all his life, but yet he was in the center of the will of God. You don't need to be called to Bible college or to full-time study to be in the center of God's will for you. As I said, Joseph was in a secular job all his life, but he was in the center of God's will. Now here, Joseph is in the center of this international event, this world event. And you know the story. We've read it. You know how Pharaoh dreams two dreams. He dreams a dream of seven fat cows and seven thin cows, and then seven fat ears of corn, and then seven thin ears of corn. And there's going to be seven good years with a great harvest, bumper harvest, followed by 7 years of famine. And Pharaoh can't get the dream explained. And eventually Joseph is extracted from prison and is brought to Pharaoh, and he explains. He explains, he's brought from prison, and he just gets time to shave before he stands before Pharaoh. And by God's power, he interprets this dream. And what we've read about here in these verses is the fastest promotion in history. From the inside of a prison cell, right to the Prime Minister's office in the Astana. The fastest promotion in history. From a prisoner to the Prime Minister of the greatest world superpower. Or let's give him his proper name, the Vizier. He's the Vizier of Egypt. And he puts a plan in place which saves Egypt from destruction. And he saves his own family. And he enriches Pharaoh and makes Pharaoh even more powerful. Now, Joseph was a man in the world, but he was a man of the word. Man of the word. You see, this promotion that Joseph gets happens not in spite of Joseph's faith, but because of Joseph's faith. His life of faith put him in the position to be made Prime Minister and to meet the challenges of this world event. And I want to speak to you this evening and bring you four simple points about living by faith in connection with world events. Number one, I want you to think about the power in world events, or the power behind world events. Folks, there's not a world event that is outside the power of God. Or let me put it to you in the terms of this story that we have just read. If God gives you seven fat cows, it's of him. It's of God. If you have seven lean cows, it's of God. If God gives you seven good ears of corn, it's by his hand. If you receive 7 blasted ears of corn, it's by the hand of God too. God gave this region in the Middle East 7 good years, 7 years of plenty. But the 7 famine years, they were also by the hand of God as well. If you look at verse 25, Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. What God is about to do. Every year, whether it's fat or lean, in this international crisis that we have just read about, this natural blessing and then this natural disaster, every year is God's doing. And to the eye of faith, nothing just happens. There's no such thing as an event that just happens to the man or woman of faith. To the eye of faith, everything is under God's control. Personal events, political events, physical events, everything under the throne of God. In our shorter catechism, and in the Free Presbyterian Church, we subscribe to the Westminster Confession of Faith and the shorter and longer catechisms. And in the shorter catechisms, the question is asked, what are the decrees of God? The answer comes, the decrees of God are his eternal purpose, according to the counsel of his will, whereby for his own glory he hath foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. Let me just read you that last part again. Whereby for his own glory he hath foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. God is not reactive. You and I, we're reactive. Things happen and we react and we set our course in reaction to the events. But that's the total opposite of God. God sets the course of events. God never reacts to a situation. There's no situation that takes God by surprise and he has to react to it. Because God sets the course of each and every situation. God is either proactive and permissive. He either proactively plans a situation or he knowingly allows it to happen. But God is in control all the way. If you'll turn with me, please, to Psalm 93, there is a tremendous number of verses at the beginning of this psalm. A real blessing. Psalm 93, and we'll read the first 3 verses. It says in Psalm 93, verse 1, the Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. And now please pay particular attention to this. The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice. Can I suggest that you get a real grip on those verses because they're powerful. The Lord reigneth. That's it, folks. Subject closed. Debate over. The Lord reigneth. God is in control. From start to finish, be it good or bad, be it fat or lean, the Lord reigneth. And you can feel the power words in these verses. Strength, girded, established from everlasting. God is still on the throne. God has always been on the throne. And God will always be on the throne. And in fact, look at verse 3, because these are tremendous words. It says the floods have lifted up their voice. Folks, there's nothing that says chaos like the flood. In ancient times, people viewed the water as symbolic of chaos. And the flood is a force for chaos. You see flooding and the uncontrollable sweep of the flood. The river washing over its bounds and going anywhere it wants. But the flood is not out of the control of God. The very floods of the earth raise their voice and testify to God's power of control. If we could hear the voice of the tsunami calling out, if we could speak in the language of the tsunami, it would cry out, God is in control. God's in control of all things. God's in control of the things in our life that seem to be random. Over there in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 33, it tells us that the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. People cast lots to achieve a random result, a result that cannot be predicted. But the scripture says that that's not the case when it comes to God. We may cast a lot. We may see the result of the lot as being random and unpredictable. But God is in control. The disposing of the lot is of the Lord. The things that seem random in our life are not random. God is sovereign over the random things. Not only that, God is sovereign over the things that seem rational in our life. The things that we can understand why they happen. Yeah. Things that we would say, well, yes, that you would expect that to happen. That's the natural thing to happen. God's still sovereign in those things, as well as the random things which seem not to make sense. God is still sovereign in the things which make perfect sense. You see, folks, to the eye of faith, nothing just happens. Come over with me, please, to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, and we'll read just the first couple of verses. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 1 says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Babylon, into his hand. Here's another world event. Here's another world superpower, not Egypt this time, but Babylon. And Babylon conquers the Middle East under Nebuchadnezzar. And we have another player on the world stage, another believer who is a politician. His name is Daniel. And Daniel is to Babylon what Joseph was to Egypt. He was a vizier. And Nebuchadnezzar comes with his massive army, sweeps across the Middle East from Mesopotamia right up through Syria and down through along the Levant into Israel. And he conquers Israel. And it was how David and Goliath should have been. Nebuchadnezzar, the giant, totally wipes out and destroys Jerusalem, like a rugby player swatting a fly. Nebuchadnezzar was a giant and Israel was small. This is how David and Goliath should have turned out. And anybody looking on at this story, anybody who was watching Babylon come across the Middle East and just sweep over Israel and destroying Jerusalem, they would have just said, well, it's a foregone conclusion. That's just what you would expect to happen. The big guy beats the little guy. But that's not how Daniel sees it. Yeah. Daniel says that God delivered Israel into Nebuchadnezzar's hands. It didn't happen because Nebuchadnezzar was big and powerful and Israel was at that time weak. It happened because God made it happen. You see, Daniel recognized that just because these things seemed logical doesn't mean that they're not controlled by God. The eye of faith looks at every world event and realizes that it doesn't just happen. The random things are under God's control, and the things that seem rational are also under the rule of God. They don't just happen because that's what you would expect. They happen because God ordains them. The Lord reigneth. So there's the power behind world events. But then I want you to think about the prediction of world events. We know that God was in control of the 7 fat years and the 7 lean years in Egypt because he predicted it. And he told Joseph that he was going to do it. That's how we know that he was in control. And it's a characteristic of God to share his plans with his people. That's something that God does. He shares what he's going to do with his people. And that happens right the way throughout the Bible. Right from Genesis to Revelation, faithful men and faithful women are invited into God's inner circle. And God briefs them on what he is about to do. Turn with me over to Genesis chapter 15. As God is speaking to Abraham, the father, of course, of the nation of Israel. In Genesis chapter 15, verses 13 to 16, and God said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve, I will judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. God lets Abraham into his inner circle. And he lets Abraham know exactly what he's going to do. Abraham's going to have a family that will be a great nation, but they'll go into captivity for 400 years. And then they will come out. They will come out of captivity to come to the promised land. In Genesis chapter 18, just a few chapters on, God lets Abraham into his plan for Sodom and Gomorrah. He instructs Abraham that he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. In chapter 41 that we have read, God tells Joseph about his plan. 7 lean years, 7 fat years. I'm reading in the book of Amos, and I think I maybe mentioned that the last time. Amos was a farmer, not a big farmer in any way, but just a regular farmer. And God tells this farmer about international events. If you turn over with me to Amos chapter 3, and just take a look at the verse 6 and 7. Amos chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. God says to Amos, shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. God told Amos how the Assyrians were going to remove the north of Israel, how they were going to capture and take into captivity the whole of the north of Israel. Now, if you'd have been listening to Amos, you'd have said, that man's mad. Because at the time when God told this to Amos, the Assyrians were in a terrible shape. The nation of Assyria was getting smaller. It wasn't getting bigger. The nation of Assyria was imploding. And If you'd have heard Amos saying that Assyria is going to come and take away the north of Israel, you would have said, that man is crazy. And then there came a genius, a king of Assyria called Tilgath-Pileser III. And through his genius and through the hand of God, of course, he turned it all around. And he turned the Assyrian kingdom from retreating and he made them advance. And God showed all that to a wee farmer in Israel because that wee farmer was faithful. Folks, God never leaves his faithful people in the dark. It wasn't just Amos who God showed that this was going to happen. God showed this, that this was going to happen to other of his prophets. People who were living by faith, and it wasn't blind faith. You see, God reveals what he will do to faithful men and women. And people are concerned about the end times. People are very concerned about the end times. I firmly believe that God's people are going to be informed. They're not going to be in the dark. God is going to show them and lead them through those end times. You know, I love that title that the Bible gives to the prophet of God. The Bible calls God's prophets seers. Lord, make me a seer. Someone who sees by faith, sees the true direction of world events. Strive to be close to God, and he will make you a seer of the times and the seasons. And it's interesting, true seers are always humble. True seers, those that God reveals his plans to, don't walk around with their chest all puffed out and with an arrogant attitude. They're always humble. Do you know what Amos said over in Amos 7, verse 14 and 15? Amos said to Amaziah, I was no prophet. Neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. Lord, give us a humble spirit like that. Give us a spirit that is humble before thee, and help us to see the direction of world events. Joseph had that humility too. If you turn back to Genesis chapter 14, or 41 rather, and verse 25, Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about. Strictly speaking, God didn't show Pharaoh. Strictly speaking, Joseph showed the dream to Pharaoh. But Joseph acknowledges that it's the Lord that put it in his mind. Joseph was humble, just as Amos is. The prediction of world events, the power behind world events, and then let me make a super short practical point to you. The preparation for world events. If there was ever a time to preach on this event in Genesis chapter 41, it's today. Because in the midst of the COVID crisis, we've learned a lot, and we're still learning. And we in the UK learned a very valuable lesson on day one of the COVID crisis. In the UK, we learned that we were not prepared. I saw a good article on this, on the COVID crisis in the United Kingdom, and it was entitled COVID Crisis or NHS Crisis. You will know that the NHS is our national health service. COVID crisis or NHS crisis. And the article wasn't criticizing the staff, far from it. We have great staff in our NHS. But it was suggesting that there wasn't enough preparation for the crisis. And that could be said in many, many areas of our life. So many people are only two paychecks away from being on the street. If one partner lost their job, they would be in financial difficulties. They have nothing in reserve. They have no savings. They have no backup plan. They're two paychecks from being in the street. And this world, folks, this world is running up to the limit on optimism. They're living it up. They're spending it all. They're saving none in the hope that all will be just okay. But the man of faith and the woman of faith knows that there comes a time when the bubble bursts. And surely is that not the meaning and the message of Pharaoh's dream? Pharaoh's dreams are not just for Pharaoh, but it's for us too. Life is full of cycles of fat followed by lean. In many places, even in church philosophy, even in church work, rather, there is a philosophy. Spend it, give it away, run lean, and God will provide in the time of need. That's what living is by faith is. Well, I would have to say, on the strength of what we have read this evening, that's not living by faith. Faith, the faith of Joseph, and that's pretty strong faith to me as far as I'm concerned. The faith of Joseph says, save in the good times. Don't spend it all. Hold in reserve for when the Lord sends the 7 lean cows and the 7 lean ears of corn. That's living by faith. You see, folks, the man of faith prepares for when things turn sour. He puts past him, he lays up in store. He expects 7 lean years to follow 7 fat years. He prepares for financial hardship, not because he has no faith, but because he has faith. He prepares, let me say this, he prepares for the end times because he knows it's coming. He ensures, he saves, he plans, he thinks. Not because he has no faith, but because he has faith. So that's just a short point on the preparation of world events. Let me bring this to a conclusion by considering one more point, the purpose of world events. What's the purpose of the international events that are unfolding all around us? The events that we hear reported on the TV news or on social media or on the newspaper. What's the purpose of these? What is God doing? God will certainly show these events to faithful men and women. There's no doubt about that. God will give them glimpses into his plans. But what is God doing? How do we know what God is doing? Well, the answer is, of course, we can't in many ways. I mean, who can know the mind of God? Who could have ever guessed that God would take Joseph down to Egypt to save his family? Who could have ever guessed that God would use an international famine to raise Joseph to the prime ministership of Egypt, to heal Joseph's family, to take Joseph's family down to Egypt, where he would make them a nation? They would become a nation of slaves. They would become a nation of slaves under death, under the threat of death, and then they would be rescued miraculously through the Red Sea and brought to the Promised Land. No seer could have seen that coming. I don't even think Joseph could have seen that coming. We get glimpses of what the Lord is doing, but we must remember that God's ways are so high, his plans are so great, that we only get glimpses. There's a wonderful picture in Daniel chapter 6, the story of Daniel and the lion's den. And you know, I think it's missed in the whole excitement of that chapter. It's a really exciting chapter. But if you'll just look at Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." King Darius writes this iniquitous law that people cannot pray to God for a month. They have to pray to him and make the request of him. And Daniel, knowing that this law is made, knowing the penalty which will befall him, because he is going to break this law, he goes into his house and he opens his windows toward Jerusalem. Daniel prayed to Jerusalem. Can you see that old man opening up the windows of the presidential apartment? And he positions himself looking west, and he bows his head slightly, knowing exactly what will happen. Knowing that he's going to be cast into the lion's den. Jerusalem at that point lay in ruins. The holy temple of Solomon was destroyed. The wall was torn down. The people were removed into captivity. The smoke had long since stopped rising from the scene. Weeds were growing up through the houses. a massive world event had come crashing into God's promised land and destroyed the land. And yet Daniel still prays toward Jerusalem. You see, Daniel realizes that Jerusalem is still the city of God. He understands that God's city will rise again someday. That God would use captivity to bring about his will. He doesn't understand how. He doesn't understand when. But he believes it. And he was right. World events come and world events pass. There are some years that could be described as fat cows, and there are some years that could be described as lean cows. But every one of them is controlled by the Lord. And every one of them is moving us closer to Christ's kingdom, when a greater Joseph will come to be ruler. And when that greater Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ, will rule from the throne of David in Jerusalem. Lord, give us faith to remember that. When we read the news, when we switch on the television, help us to realize that every single world event is bringing us closer and designed to bring us closer to the coming kingdom of Christ. Help us to look up, for the time of our redemption is drawing nigh. Let's seek the Lord together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the faith of Joseph, the humility of Joseph. Thank you, Lord, for a man of humble spirit who you revealed your plans and intentions to. And help us, Lord, to be close to thee, to be in that position where, if it be your will, you would show us the meaning and the movements of world events all around about us. Help us to be humble. And Lord, help us to make preparation even in this life for the times whenever the 7 lean years will follow the 7 years of plenty. Help us to be prepared, to prepare in faith. And help us, Lord, to live in anticipation of your coming kingdom. Bless the folks in Cornerstone. We pray that you will help them to follow hard after the Lord. Fill them with faith. Fill them with thy spirit. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Once again, folks, thanks very much for listening. May God bless you as we meditate upon his word.